Good evening. I'm glad to join you today via YouTube. It's a great honor to be able to join you with this type of technology. Thank you for the prayers you're making on behalf of my wife, my children, that we may be able to get the visa to join you. We pray and we desire to be with you as soon as God allows us to do so. Today, however, I'd like to bring you to the subject of the day, which is righteousness that builds God's church. Whether you like it or not, you and I behave in a certain way, and our behaviors either influence godliness or influence or does not promote God's will in God's family. And because of that, we have then to be conscious and ask ourselves, are we really embracing God's will and embracing that in character, in attitude, in speech, in everything we undertake? Having said that, I'll be focusing our teachings in the book of Romans. And Romans 12:15 really focuses on righteousness in the body of Christ. 12 is in the body of Christ. 13 is just about being righteous in the world. And 14 as well, and dealing with conflict that comes in the body of Christ. And 15, how we must continue in building these relations. But that takes a righteousness so that we can forge forward together. So, build each other up is our first point. And it starts in Romans 15, verse 1 to 2. It reads like this. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. These things were issues of food and how people were affected with just a simple fact as the Jews saw food in one way and the Gentiles saw it in another way. But that then became a source of conflict. And because of that, righteousness was coming into question. So today I want to go forward and talk about this a little bit and explain that for us to change, we must embrace one quote that I know was written by Max Dupree. He says this, we cannot become what we want to be by remaining what we are. In essence, for us to be able to build each other up, we must ask this pertinent question. What must I be in a godly sense to build God's body and to make it what God wants it to be? That's why it says, we who are strong must be considerate. It's a question of being considerate with each other, thinking through it and asking, how will I build? What is my role in building God's family? We cannot just please ourselves with the knowledge we have or be happy and content with the fact that we are okay. We have to build one another up. We should help each other to do what is right and build them up in the Lord. It's a process. And building can be challenging. And sometimes it can take a little bit of making of a mess before you build. But the final product is always amazing. In this case, the Romans were having issues around meals and how that was being treated and how they were being judged over one meal over another. But in this case, for us, it's different. It's maybe just how we view life, how we see the body of Christ, how we view family groups, how we view relationships within the congregation. That's very important. Look at it and ask yourself, are you building? And the biggest challenge, especially if you've been around for a long time, is to be set in your ways, to be set in the way you see things, and not be open to how God may be doing something new in your life or with the people around you or with just what you're going through. And so it's vital to ask yourself on a day-to-day basis, have you settled? Or have you gone to cruise control? Or are you engaging with God and are you engaging enough to be able to contribute to the building through conversations, through fellowship, through prayer, through just one another times that we get together with? It's important that we do that. I believe that this quote applies to us today. It says this, the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn and learn and relearn. Alvin Toffler. If we engage in our spiritual journey with a sense of discontentment, as in the contentment that does not inspire us to grow, we need the contentment of God is at work, But if we sit around so settled, we will not build what God wants us to be. We must be able to engage spiritually, be hungry for God's word, be hungry for relationships, be hungry for just connections. It is clear that the way God has set it up is we connect with Him and we also connect with one another. If we understand that and learn some of the things that were not useful in the past, but relearn the useful things right now to connect well and move forward, then we'll be able to enjoy a life that glorifies God, build a church that really glorifies God, and in the process touch so many other lives in the community that we come from and enable them to come to God. Point number two, build through patience. It is not easy to build relationships, especially when you're building relationships not just of the same people, different race, different mindset, different thinking, different backgrounds, different education. That can be challenging. But that is our God. He's called us to build a family of God that is multi-generational, multi-race, multi-attitude, multi-age. All that is supposed to come together. And you can only do it with God. So, build through patience. Romans 15, 3 to 4 says this, the New King James Version. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproach of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The Bible says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproach of those who reproached you fell on me, that he was able to bear with what was going on our behalf. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that this much we can look into the scriptures that can teach us about a healthy function of a family of God, whether it's family group, whether it's just families, nuclear families, whether it's just regions, whether it's a set of people. There's a lot we can learn from the scriptures. And it's written there so we can learn that we through the patience and comfort of the scripture, we have hope. It doesn't matter where we sit right now and how difficult things may be. What matters is that we have God and the Holy Spirit to guide us, but also we have scriptures to teach us and to give us hope. I'd like to read this quote. It says, the secret of change is to focus all of your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new. Socrates said that. Now I believe it really resonates with us where we sit right now. If you look at your life, you're always having a good time and challenging times. Sometimes the challenging times can last more than you want them to. The good times shorter than you want them to. Nevertheless, the point is this. We need to understand that we need to focus on hearing God's voice and being patient and asking, what does God want us to do? It's vital that we pay attention to God's way of doing things, whether it's just the way we think. And ask ourselves, do we think in the way the Bible teaches? Because that's where it all begins. Your thinking affects your behavior, and your behavior eventually forms a character that eventually brings destiny. So the point is, if we allow ourselves to think in a godly way, righteousness will flow from our speech, from our behavior, from the way we treat one another, and the climate in the church is transformative. It's a place where you feel safe, authentic, a place where you want to come and worship, but you have to realize we all have that role to create that environment. If we don't take that seriously, over a period of time, we die. We die not because the scriptures are not true, but because we don't embrace them and practice them and bring that to a day-to-day basis in our worship with God. Thirdly, build with harmony. It's vital to understand that when you have different people, different types of thinking, different ways of thinking, That's when you really need harmony. The idea that you can only build harmony when we all come from the same background, same thinking, same school, or same race, it's a fallacy. In other words, it's like saying we can only play good music if we're all playing drums. Can you imagine that? We're all playing drums. How do you create a band out of that? If you want to have good synergy and good harmony, is then all kind of instruments come on in with different things, but because of God, then you can create a power, an energy that we create out of God, because it's all dependent on God. So here in Romans 15, 5 to 6 says this: may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God, who gives the patience — God is the one that gives you and I patience. If you do not get patience, or if you don't have patience, the first place to start is ask from God. James says ask, he gives it. The gospel says if you ask, he'll give. If you knock, he'll open the doors. Let's start by asking God for patience and encouragement, because sometimes we can be so discouraged about what we want to do in life that we give up easily on just building a family of God that gives glory to Him. And we're discouraged because of life challenges, financial, health, name it. It can go on and on. The things that challenge us, children, anything else can challenge you to a point where you feel like, I'm just tired. Yet God says be patient and He'll give you encouragement to help you live in complete harmony with each other, even though we're different in time. And we need to understand that, and that God will give you the harmony we all need if we see each other in the eyes of God, the way God sees us, as followers of Christ. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to give harmony, you've got to start thinking about, how do you see people? Or how is your behavior contributing to harmony? Let me read a quote that may help to underscore this. This is by Jay-Z, by the way. It says, don't tell me what was said about me. Tell me why they were so comfortable to say it to you. That's Jay-Z. Now, here's the deal. Part of building a righteous family of God is really challenged by how we deal with each other and the things that come between each other. And there's some things that we can look at today. One is slander destroys harmony. If we sit and discuss behind the backs of people and discuss negatively, discuss fearfully, discuss with a lot of apprehension, in other words, we're saying stuff we can tell them up front, we're not going to be able to build harmony. Or if we paint one person or one people one way with a negative brush, then we will not build harmony. That is something we have to look at and say, do I do that as an individual? Do I need to change that and be different? What about negativity? Sometimes we're just negative. We're defeated before we step. We see all the challenges. We don't see that the challenges are an opportunity for God's name to be glorified. So we must embrace the challenges instead of being negative. Rather pray and say, God, this is an opportunity for you to glorify yourself as well. What about divisive behavior? This can be that you don't come to family groups. This can be that you don't come on time. This can be that you do not give your best. This can be that you drag your feet to things that you're not energized, you're not present there. All that really doesn't build God's family and the righteousness that God is looking for. Today I wanted to dwell on this because I believe that if the church reflects what Christ is like, it's so easy for the world to find it. But if the church is not reflecting that, then the world gets confused, disillusioned, and unaware what they need to do, where they need to go. So it's upon you and I to really love God deeply, to enjoy each other's fellowship, to be in each other's life, and to inspire God, to inspire each other to be the best we can be for God. And in the process, a lot of people will be attracted to Christ. Verses 7 and 8 proceeds to tell us the following. accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. The standard that the scripture set out here is that accept one another just as Christ accepted you. I mean, think about that. How much do you accept yourself? Now, I know that sometimes people have issues about accepting themselves. They think, I'm not good enough, or oh, my body's not good enough. But in reality, we create an image of God. And we should accept ourselves the way we are. And it says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you. When Christ died on the cross, he was accepting us. He did that unconditionally. When it was all done, he said, it's finished. And it says here, like just as Christ accepted you in order to praise God. We accept one another, not to justify ourselves, not to meet and deny ourselves, but rather to praise God. That happens when we are authentic. That happens when we feel safe. That happens when we show care for one another. That happens when we give help to one another. That happens when we're growing. When these five things are in place and you're really working at being the person you need to be, and you're accepting others like God has accepted us, you cannot help but fulfill John 13:34, that your love for one another will really be something that the world looks at and says, there's God in those people. And so that's the standard of accepting one another. And in the process, we attract the world to God. Having said that, then it says in verses 8, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs. Because for a long time, the conflict of the Jews and Gentiles would make them want fight over what was right in the eyes of the Jew. The paradigm they brought from their world, they would make that the issue, instead of what God's will was. And because of that, they would fight over that. And Paul is telling them, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises he made to their patriarchs. So it's important to understand that God wants you and I to rely on his word, to be directed by his promises, because that's what will get us going to the right direction. Verse 9, so then Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. I believe that sometimes heritage issues can get in the way of us really being connected. And you cannot sweep them away, but we need to understand them in the context of who God is in our life. When that happens, we begin to identify with God in a way that our identity is not lost, but rather confirmed and encouraged to be real. In the process, we judge less and begin to experience God's love. In the process, we stop control. And we start saying, God, show me what needs to happen. When that happens in our lives, you cannot help but see that you impact the people around you, you impact society around you. It changes everything you're doing. Now, fast forward, and we're going to jump a little bit here and go all the way to 14. It says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness and goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. It takes a people that are in God's word to be full of goodness. It takes a people that are vulnerable to be full of goodness before God. And then from there, the Bible says you're competent to instruct one another. If we instruct one another based on opinion, feelings, we will find that we're pulling in different directions. But if we instruct one another based on God's word, his love, we'll find that his knowledge of goodness then permeates our lives, our relationships, our children, our parenting, our work, and in the process, we encourage a lot of people to come our way. Finally, but not least, 15 says, I have written you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again because of the grace of God gave me. All of the things we have to tackle with, to deal with as Christians, are tough issues. We deal with, in this world, you deal with the fact that people might not like you being a Christian, but you need to be one. We deal with the issues of being different in our workplaces. We deal with issues of sometimes race, just the fact that we're different races. And that too is something that we'll have to grapple with. We don't have all answers to that, but we have hope that God has given us what it takes to overcome the challenges of our time. If we do not embrace God's word, if we don't embrace God's way of relationship, embrace God's way of communication, God's way of parenting, marriage, we'll find ourselves struggling a lot. And that happens because then our righteousness diminishes and we revert back to anger, resentment, and emotion. Instead of being grounded in God's word, in good relationships, relationships that build God in us, in grounded in prayer, that is what we must aspire to, want to be part of. When we do that, growth happens to God's church, growth happens to our life, growth happens to everyone. My prayer is that you may decide to look at your own life and see what areas need to grow. It's all about righteousness. We can never settle. And if we do settle, we're in danger of getting numb in God's house. We have to keep ourselves engaged, real, open, and authentic. That is a process of growth. And as we relate with each other like that, healing happens, growth happens, and eventually a church that reflects God's heart and righteousness is born among the community it exists in. Thank you for this opportunity and for listening to me. Hope to see you soon, and in God's time, sooner than later, I hope to be with you in person. Thank you. Bye.